didn't realize we were adults until it was too late. And now, we're just trying to figure it out. You're listening to the Adulting Review Podcast.
So, you're an adult who's trying to do life. Welcome to the Adulting Review Podcast. We've read all your emails and all the comments you've left on our pages, and we're so thankful for your feedback. And one thing that's come out of all the conversations we've had with you, our dear readers, is how difficult it is to A, choose a career, and B, be successful at it. This week, we sit with Irene, a fashion illustrator. Now imagine this, you go to university to study law. And you graduate and tell your parents you don't want to be the arm of the law. You'd rather use your arm to draw. Yes, you're going to earn naira in the hundreds and millions drawing for a living. Imagine how that conversation would go. Do they say, come on, get out of here. Focus on real life. Let's listen to Irene.
You're listening to the Adulting Review Podcast.
While reading the responses on the Adulting Review, the complaint that people had was this thing of not being prepared for life.
Like, true.
Nobody told me. They told us that you go to school, do well, have a good job, and life will work out for you. And life is not working out. I feel like that is somehow connected to us doing what we are naturally meant to do. And you are somebody who went to school for a lot of years studying something on the left, only to end up on the right. When you were in secondary school, when you dreamed and you fantasized and stuff, what did you want to be?
I mean, it's a difficult question, isn't it? Because, okay, remembering my first, just my earliest years, was always fashion. I'm talking about my earliest years. I don't know if anybody remembers video fashion. I love video fashion because then I think that was the first time I could really see, oh, okay, somebody made all these clothes. And my sister used to sketch, but she stopped sketching as my first sister.
Right.
And then one day I just stumbled on her. She used to sketch pageants and she'd say, this is Miss France, Miss Nigeria, Miss this, Miss that. Yeah. And they'd have really elaborate gowns. And so I started copying her and saying, oh, can I draw with you? Blah, blah. And then she'd be like, yeah, you can draw. Mm-hmm. I continued drawing. My sister stopped drawing. My sister's now an accountant with her ACCA and all that. And I don't think she can draw anymore. And I remember she had a really unique style. It's funny how I was that little, but I'd never seen anybody till now. I've still not seen anybody who drew like that because it wasn't just the atypical realism. It was really, her eyes were weird. She had ways she used to sketch the arms.
Right.
She was really good at art. And I don't know if she even remembers that, but that's the reason why I kickstarted drawing. And then I realized, oh, I can do this. Oh, this is easy. But I was always drawing girls or clothes or things like that. I used to draw comic strips, play around in class, that sort of thing. Whenever I went to school, there was an art class, whether it was paper mache, clay, like pottery, I would I'd want to do anything creative. Right. And then I had a really good teacher in GS1. He was just that sort of teacher who would look at a child and go, okay, this pot is clearly more potty than all the other pots in this class. Okay, you have some artistic bent. So the ones of us who were like that, he would pay more attention. And God rest his soul, he's late now, but then he continued that all through the time I was in school. And literally, I'd spend my break times doing oil painting. So at a point, I thought, this is what an artist does, because that's what he did. Anybody who went to school with me would say, oh, so you ended up doing this thing. If I was winning something, it was an art competition.
Right.
Maybe sometimes I do it for other things, maybe debate or whatever, but it was always art.
Mm.
And so my artwork would be, I'd be in the art room with the other artistic people. My parents were not very art, not that they weren't art friendly, but obviously they were like the typical African parents saying, look, you need specific subjects to pass and to do the courses that we think you should do. And I picked law all by myself. It was what do you do very well? You're very chatty. You're quite argumentative. You know what to say at the right time. Oh, you were head girl, so obviously you can stand in front of a crowd. Yeah, you're going to be a lawyer. This is fantastic. And I made that choice myself. My father was a lawyer as well. So I was like, I don't even have to buy a wig and a gown. This is lovely. Plus, I was a complete numpty at math. So I was like, this is the heavens. They're telling me I have to be a lawyer. I liked quite creative subjects. The year before we graduated, or we did any of those like A levels, because I did the whole nine SATs, A levels.
Right,
you know,
right.
Failed at most of them. But anyway, because I was too busy playing with my friends. Woo! So anyway, so my mom basically said, look, you're having too many competitions. You're winning too many competitions. You're every week, there's something you're going out for instead of staying in class and learning your math and your English. So therefore, you are not going to do art in your final exams. You will pick something else. So I picked French because that was something I also had a passion for. And then for my final exams, I wrote French, which I got a B in, so it wasn't terrible. But then so I don't have any degree in art whatsoever because my parents thought I was being too distracted. Now, this is not to bash my parents or anything. Yeah. They were doing what's best for me at the time. Mm-hmm. And truth be told, if I had finished and told my dad, you know what, Dad, I think I want to go to art school, my dad would not have said no. I had those kind of parents. They would humor me. I'm not saying they took it seriously, but they were always very supportive. If I had a show, if I had something, they would take time out of their work day and they would come.
Just before you go on, like on that point, I find that there are many parents who just say absolutely not. We know that for a fact. But I'm starting to wonder that is it possible that there are some parents who would actually be like, is this girl serious? And if you are, they will humor you as well. There are a bunch of things in what you said about like forgetting talent and stuff. So
for instance, it's rife.
I have also had those things where I've forgotten things that I was really good at. But I think our parents and the people around us also see that. Because when you're really passionate about something consistently, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you get into trouble doing it. Do you get, like, they have to figure out a way to help you with this thing because you are stressing them all, you know? And I find that there are many things I've said I wanted to do. I have done a bit of fashion. I've done a bit of producing. Mm-hmm. I've done a bit of this. I've done art. I've done education. Yeah. I've done this one. I've done that one. So if I come and I say another one now, who is really going to take me seriously? Unless,
I know what you mean.
Like, I have to be the one who is obviously determined. I think that's also part of why, like, for instance, your parents, I mean, I don't know their parenting style, but they sounded like they were cool. It means that at that point where they said, choose between art or French, you could have been like, no, mommy, no, daddy.
Okay, a little bit of a correction. They did not say choose. They said, we command you, stop doing art. We command you to take yourself to the French class.
Okay.
So it was fair enough. It was literally a go away from art,
Right.
So
they weren't that cool. Just checking, because I started to wonder, like, you know, we creative people, we have a million ideas. Even with the two of us, we've had a million things we want to do together, and it's just,
but
like,
then actualize
and because creative people have the tendency to be distracted because they are very multi-talented much. Because they can see themselves in a million different things, fine, there is a strength in that allows you to express yourself, and that fires up the creativity and stuff if it is properly harnessed and understood. But if you're the child of an engineer or a doctor or an accountant who doesn't
and they don't get these things,
you will have to show them by your own insistence or by your own passion. Like when I was younger, I loved reading. Every time we got our books before session, you know, you buy all your books and your literature books and your comprehension books, I would read them all. So literally, I would have read all the comprehension passages. I would have read all my literature books. So by the time we're in class, I know all the stories. And so I effortlessly did well in English and in literature because I love reading. And so because of that, my uncles will buy me books. I'll go to somebody's house and be like, please, do you have any books you can borrow? They were on my side because they could see that. But they couldn't see when I came and I said I wanted to do fashion. They couldn't see it. Where did this come from? And when I said I wanted to do 100 other things that I said I wanted to do. Now, on the one hand, if they support us, they would help us fine-tune what we want. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, sometimes something ends up emerging. Like with you.
I basically think it's down to the mindset of the people around us. I mean, I love the advent of social media because I think it opened people's eyes up so much. But we're talking about a time where there was no successful precedent in families for that particular bent. I mean, even people who make money in quote, the regular industries, so banking or whatever. Mm-hmm. Amazon is doing 1,000,005 things. They're opening supermarkets. Why? Mm-hmm. Because creativity begets creativity. So you keep expanding.
Right.
But people only see that expansion as valid, or it's cool that you're doing all these things, if there is a clear societal metric, which is usually money.
Right.
So you're making lots of money at what you're doing. I have so many friends who come to me, in good faith, and say, oh, so is this what you do full time? Yes, it's what I do full time. Almost literally what they're asking is, how do you feed yourself?
Yes.
So I had to ignore that very early on, knowing that, no, I couldn't particularly feed myself. You know, I'm not really thriving here. But I had to basically push through that, knowing that I'm probably more in purpose or happier on the day-to-day than what you're doing. And the question I always put to people is, if there was no monetary incentive at the end of the day, would you still go to the same place you go to every morning, saying that's your job? A lot of people would say no.
Let's jump to that. Money is probably the biggest dream killer for creative people. On the one hand, their mindsets about wealth, their things that limit us, their things that tell us don't look for money, don't chase money. There's that. So far, it has seemed like it is either money or passion, and you have to choose one.
Exactly.
Because you find that, I mean, literally, you have my inspiration. I go around telling everybody, I have a friend who's a full-time job. It's to draw.
It's to draw.
She's fantastic at it. And she's living her life and she's happy. For you, in your journey, how did you resolve the money issue in the times when money was not coming?
I think my position might not be as applicable to everybody. One, I grew up never worrying about money. Thanks to my dad and mom. To look at it, like, from now, I was privileged. Right up until the time I got married, I never had to worry about any money. Mm. Mostly, I think what my issues were, I just liked affirmation. So basically, I think that's the only reason I really did well in school. Not because I really loved anything, but because I realized if I came first, mommy would really, really hug me. Ooh. Or if I won a competition, everybody's like, oh, rah, rah. And I'm like, I like this. This is nice. I like this. So I would literally keep doing stuff that, and it just happened to be the good stuff. And that's how you end up being a teacher's pet, or your mom's like, oh yeah, she always does good in school. But it wasn't from a place of interest. It was from a place of, oh, this is the end I get. So you're looking at money in your account and you feel successful. I've made it in life because I have cash. So for me, because money was never an issue growing up, I didn't want to become a lawyer because I thought lawyers were rich. I wanted to become a lawyer because I thought I fit the part. So I watched movies. Yes, she's chatty like me. I can do that. So, I mean, even in primary school, I think I was Portia in Merchant of Venice or something like that. So like, oh, she's a lawyer. Ooh, this, you know, so it's just one of the, it's just silly ideas that come in your mind. And then you think, this is who I am based on what people project on you or things you fell into. But one thing that always pursued me was the fact that I always would sketch right through university. I would always sketch, got married, kept sketching. But I happened to be on maternity leave when I finally had nothing to do. So I'd finished my master's, completely smashed my master's. Yeah, so now it's time to get the job that mommy and daddy have always been talking about, where I have this big title, this big role. Applied. I happened to be in the UK at the time. So applying furiously for graduate roles, nobody's calling me back. Finally got some really top interviews in some oil companies, but it would always just be one little thing and nip to the post. So I could never quite get the job. And then after a while, so I'm married now, I'm expecting my first child, and my husband just says, oh, you know, you're home, why do you keep sketching these things? Just put it on your Instagram. And I wasn't using my Instagram for art. I wasn't using my Instagram seriously. It was just a page with, like, I think it was a picture of my shoe or something. And then literally he said, why don't you just start putting them up? Just start showing people what you're doing. And that's how I started. That's literally what started it. It wasn't something pre-planned. It wasn't something I thought out really clearly. But before then, the gap between finishing uni and in terms of first degree and then getting to say, okay, you know what? I want to switch careers, because it was the lack of satisfaction. So I finished the law degree. I finished law school. Literally, I'd done everything I thought I could do for my parents, because, I won a prize in law school. Yay, everybody's clapping for you. Your dad's really proud. But then what? All my friends were like, oh, so you can go to one of the top six firms. Oh, wow. Because, you know, if you get a really good result, you can get to... I didn't want to go to a top six firm. I've come to the end of a very long and arduous journey, and I realized I don't want to do this. So my dad gets me a job at a law firm. And then I stay there for 6 months, realize that this cannot be life. And I literally beg him, please spend some more of your money, daddy, so I can go and do a master's degree. In that space of time, I'm doing, so there's this Adebayo Jones.
Okay.
He's a Nigerian designer. I think he's based in the UK. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But this is where Adriel Amos Tafiri and a few other people had their start. I just sent in a sketch because I like to sketch. I had no idea how to make any clothes. I sent in the sketch and I remember the girl saying, are you sure you can make this? I was like, yes, of course I can. Or my tailor can. So I just wanted to be anywhere creative, even if I didn't have the credentials. So my sketch got me in. But then when it came time to actually making the dress, that wasn't so nice.
Right.
But at the end of the day, out of 10 fashion designers, an illustrator with absolutely no knowledge of dressmaking. I came fifth. For me, that was a win. I was like, yay! Adria Amos Taffery won the competition and she's gone on to do great things.
Yeah.
But I think that still didn't wake me up to the fact that this is the art side of this thing that you're interested in. Look, to my dad's credit, we would spend weekends at Nikkei Art Gallery. And it was the first time I'd seen a woman being the owner of something. It was her house, but it was this wonderland. And I'd go home with beads and adire patterns and all sorts of stuff. So for me, going there was the dream, you know? And she's still doing that till this day. She's traveled all around the world based on what she can do. So I saw somebody whose gift did make room for them.
Mm.
And in my dad's family, there is an artistic bent as well, which I didn't find out till my granddad died and I was reading his sort of that obituary sort of thing. Finding out that my family lines from the royal family in terms of, not that we were the royals, but the bronze casters, we would be in the king's court making all those things I see in the British Museum, the mask, the India mask. Literally, my family made those. It was, I'm not joking, it's something I haven't really thought about clearly and completely, but I could, it's almost like you can see yourself. So that's why I can do that. Just seeing that and realizing, oh, I have a long line of people who used to do this. There must be an expression for this. Was a real driving force for me. And so when I would see my father, he would really be supportive. Like they came to the show in the Civic Center. They had to pay. Okay, it was tickets. Yeah. So they had to pay a ticket price to come and watch me just faff about. And people ask me, so what was your inspiration for the collection? It was the streets of Paris. I remember I was just saying rubbish. But it was so amazing for me. I met so many nice friends. I saw a lot of other creative people. But I think that kind of kept that hunger going. Finally, okay, so I'm married. I'm living in the United Kingdom. My husband says, put your artwork on Instagram. I don't think it's a coincidence that the first thing I'm drawing is fashion.
Right.
Because it's always been that. Growing up, and maybe my sisters should listen to this actually. I used to get laughed at every Sunday when we're going to church. Why? Because I was a weirdo dresser. I thought my baggy shirt or my clunky wedges on my really large skirt looked cool and I would put a belt on it. And my sisters were laughing, what on earth are you wearing? And they were probably right, but I was so individualistic in my thinking. But then I didn't put two and two together. Oh, you like to sketch clothes and you like to wear clothes. Oh, maybe this is the area you should be in. And this is what I see in schools right now and with social media. Children are saying weird things like they want to be bloggers. They can make a
living from it. They can see people who are successful and making impact from it.
Exactly. And we didn't have those choices.
Yeah.
So we had the Chinua Achebe, but then really, how many people made it? How many people made it? So we have the Chimamanda and we're clapping for her. But what's the pathway? And that, I think apart from even self-realization, I think the other part of the reasons why so many people are stuck and they're stuck in jobs they think they should be in because it's a responsible thing to do, which probably I'd have fallen into if I hadn't moved away. So I think for me, that's the main thing, is the environment does not create that sort of, you know, when you have an environment that allows you to create.
Yeah. So there are many things in what you said that I actually want to touch on. And this is really significant for a lot of creative people, or if not even people who are creative necessarily in an artistic way, but people who just have different ways to express themselves from what is conventional.
Right.
People like that have a difficult time finding what they like. For instance, you started off loving fashion and thinking that it was fashion you wanted to create.
Right.
So even if you were going to try to push something, even though you were drawing, it's almost as if the drawing is a means to an end, as opposed to realizing that the drawing was actually the expression. But at the same time, you liked wearing clothes and you liked dressing in a very unique way. So then you do have a sense of style. So somebody else who is trying to encourage you may have thought that it was your sense of style and your fashion that they should be encouraging. True. But then at the same time, now this is a part that we haven't talked about yet. You sing. And you have one of the most beautiful voices that I have heard as a personal stan and a personal fan.
I'm pretty sure you haven't heard it in ages, but then, okay.
It doesn't even matter. I don't even care. I believe that nobody's gift dies. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, like, it does. It definitely doesn't. I use it. I use it regularly.
There you go. Imagine if you were going around your house singing all the time and drawing all the time. What is anybody going to say you should focus on?
Do you see what you mean?
Because I know that at some point when you finished uni, you actually intentionally pursued singing. And you would go for shows and do competitions and you would win some prizes and you got some exposure in that direction. Now, if you take singing and you take drawing clothes on the internet and you put them next to each other and you think, I'm very good at these things. I'm passionate about these Mm-hmm. Which one am I likely to choose? Which one is a parent likely to encourage you in? Which one is
right.
likely to think is more, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, Shibi, you can do both. Why do you think that you ended up moving more in the fashion line than in the singing line? Because I know you sing.
Well, I definitely sing.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why is it singing is free and drawing is the one that is bringing
right,
you?
Like, right, right, right. That's yeah.
kind of the other way around. Because it could have been the other way around.
I mean, I know it's crazy, but why is it that for creatives, there's no short story? It's always like, when I was four.
That's at four, yes, go on.
Honestly, truth is, for music, it's the same thing as art. However, I understand what you mean. It's something I have not made public in the sense of making it public. Art was also a hidden thing because I thought my persona was my academic achievement. I thought it was, okay, you're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be really successful, aka make lots of money. So growing up, these things were personal. And I think for me, maybe I'll give you a, so not to go back to when I was four, I'll go back to when I was six. Okay, just six. And so I'm in primary school and I have a teacher called Mr. Akins, Ghanaian. It's amazing how all my stories are tied to teachers.
Right.
My mom's a teacher. So I really appreciate that profession because they are key to how a child ends up. And I remember the first time I just realized I liked rooms that echoed. So there was an empty classroom. I stood by the window and I was singing into the empty classroom. He turns up. I'm like, yup, I'm dead. I'm not supposed to be here. So he says, no. Don't stop singing. Keep singing. It's like, I don't understand. You want me to keep singing to the empty classroom even though I'm not supposed to be here. Then, because I realized he was enjoying what I was doing.
Right.
Wow, somebody else thinks this is nice. In Atlantic Hall, we had a good choir. Another Ghanaian who was the choir instructor, he would always give me solos. So I would sing soprano solos, but really traditional music, stuff like that. Never pursued any sort of taking up any instrumentation because those were the guys who had to stay behind after school to suffer. Yeah. I didn't want to do that. So I didn't tell my dad. You see how we sabotage ourselves? So I didn't tell my dad. And so I would only sing with my friends. I'd make beats with my sisters. That's another thing. My other sister was amazing at drumming. Doesn't drum today. So she'd drum. I'd write like mini songs. I'd write mini melodies. We'd sing together, whatever it was. My sister was telling my husband she would be singing around the house. We were like, shut up. Literally, that's how it was. That's how it was. But then, remember how you could record yourself with all those cassette players? Now we're giving away how old we are. But then you press play, record your voice. I'm like, ooh, I recorded my voice. And I remember when we were leaving Atlantic Hall, everybody's going on to A-levels. We actually went to a studio and recorded a song. It was horrible. But we loved the fact that we could do that.
Right.
But then, obviously, what happens in life? You get serious, and you think, "Oh, come on! I'm not trying to be the next Debranch." So here it is. It was fun while it lasted. I'm going on to my education, and then that was the end of that. But then I had this, and I think that's what you're talking about. When we met, this whole thing where I just love to express myself. Just give me a stage. Just give me a platform where I sing. But I think for me, where that kind of it didn't die off, but I think where that morphed into something different. Was getting serious with my faith, being a Christian.
Yeah.
I get to express myself in church every Sunday. Right. So it's not a case of, oh, I need a stage or I need anything. So you can just plug into a choir and you're singing your part and you're fine.
Right.
And so for me, because it was never tied to money, it was never tied to anything else. It wasn't the way I got my parents to pat me on the back. That was through school.
Ooh.
It was my form. It was what I delighted to do. So if I get to do that, I don't even need to look for a public state like to do so on. And that's why I've never pursued that because I'm fulfilled in it, which is kind of not great because you can push yourself further and further.
No. Actually,
but yeah, that's why.
I think it's fantastic because there's been a question in my heart for ages. I didn't even know that I was asking it really until you just said what you said. A lot of our dissatisfaction comes from our inability to express ourselves in our truest self. So there's something you want in your heart and you can't do it. I feel like each thing that you want to express has its own direction that it goes into.
Right, right.
So for instance, like you wanted to sing and that was for you.
Yep.
And you get to sing every single Sunday. And so you are good because you are doing it. So there's no vacuum in your heart where it comes to where am I going to sing? How am I going to express
this? Yes.
A lot of people are stifled. So they're not they're not using it. It almost seems like even with drawing and sketching, you were doing it for yourself. But the moment you put it on Instagram, that was like a platform to express it. This is me now extrapolating, but
no, it's making a lot of sense.
On Instagram, you express it and then you get interest back. And then you realize that the interest is transactional. So it establishes itself as the one that can bring money. And you sing, and then you see how people have to hustle to get it to bring money. But there's the one that you can just get fulfillment in normally. And it's and so you're fulfilled. Because I feel like for some other people, their singing would be the one, maybe by luck or chance or happenstance, their singing would be the one. Like, for instance, if
that you had
been singing if you had been singing at home and your husband said, post your singing videos on Instagram.
Oh, wow, yeah. It could have been the reverse.
It could have been the reverse. But then it may have become difficult for you considering your personality, your faith, the kind of life that you wanted to live, to put in the amount of effort that it takes when it comes to the singing and the music industry.
Yeah, right. I think it's definitely a lot more. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Because your personality plays a role in what you're going to want to do and how you're going to want to express even the gifting that you have. So if you're a quiet person, or not even quiet, because you like talking, but you're a private person.
Really? And I think it's almost to a fault.
Right. Yes. But that's the thing. You now have a career that allows you to be so expressive and still be like hidden. Yeah. Which actually suits you. For instance, so if you look at me, I realize that the reason why I've struggled so much is because as much as I can do many things, I also realized that when my faith came into play, I didn't necessarily want to do that kind of struggle of, do you want to push yourself? Do you want to follow the path of, then it was Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Mariah Carey. Like, do I want to go down the path that they're going? Every 2 years, there's a mental breakdown, there's an emotional breakdown. Like, I don't have the personality for that. But I realized that I wanted to connect with people. That's the thing I wanted my whole life.
Right.
I want that impact. I want what I do to make you happy or make you uplifted or make you feel better. And that's what drives my creativity. So every time I have done anything, whether it's writing, producing, if it did not get to the point where it was visibly or in some way I believed that it was making somebody else's life better or helping them come out of some darkness or give them clarity, I lose interest in it. And so when if it's about business alone and money alone, I will be miserable.
It won't be sustainable. True.
Even if it's the same thing that I end up doing by myself. It's like, no, the point of this is to uplift. It's not...
No, it makes sense because that's your... I don't know if I'll say it's your personality type, but even just being friends.
Yeah.
That I think that would be what most people would say is, if you needed somebody to like be in your corner, it's really great what you said, because if your personality type is encouraging, you love to be in positive spaces, you're a positive person yourself, then it goes without saying your aunt will be positive. And then however you express yourself will just be in that same kind of bent. So it's not a selfish thing. I realize you're very about everybody else is okay. Sometimes it might even be to the detriment of yourself, but you put people first. And so I can see that in the way, say, God would use your gifts to bless other people. Yeah. But I think also another thing that really comes in, especially in this whole creative thing, is even if it's not money driving you, right? There's this thing where we feel like we have to choose. I've gotten to this point where I know there's only 24 hours in the day. So I'm realizing I have to choose. But sometimes I see fashion and I go, why can't I start a fashion line? Why can't I start creating clothes? I'm sure you think about this sometimes. I think about clothes. But then you're thinking, no. Remember, you are the fashion illustrator. So this is what you do. Invest yourself in this particular trade. Don't be a jack of all. So it's a thing about choosing, and that choosing I don't think is valid. It's only valid if you feel you cannot really give 100% of yourself to each of those things.
Yeah.
But I think we can be many things. Yeah. Don't try to be all things. Don't try to force anything. Yeah. But whatever comes naturally to you, we owe it to ourselves to express it. Because I keep thinking, and my husband was saying the other day, just imagine if you never listen to me, and that simple conversation somewhere in our flat, just go, oh, why don't you just put your illustrations on Instagram? What if I said no? I probably would have gone on, you know, looking for a job, might have found some sort of suitable job, and just continue life as is. But the portals, and I think the doors that open in our lives to new experiences literally is the decision to try and to say, I will do as much as I can. as long as I'm alive, because it's like I have that right to do that. Yeah. So I'm trying not to box myself in even now to, okay, it's illustration. I'm realizing my role even in illustration is changing. I'm being more selective about what I do illustrate, or if I, and I'm realizing my time is so precious to me right now. I think that's what happens when you get older or whatnot. But you start thinking, what do I really want to do now? Is this really what I need to be doing? Do I feel fulfilled doing this? Then you're also looking to, okay, people coming after you, how can I make their path easier as well? And then you're also thinking about, what are the areas I haven't expressed? Just like the music you're talking about. Can I pick up an instrument? I started playing guitar.
I bought a guitar at the start of 2020. Yes. It's been gathering dust. I have not touched it.
Oh, no, pick it up. Pick it up, because I that's what I got for one of my birthdays in the past years. And no serious lessons or anything. I picked it up myself. And it just opens a whole new world. So if you're singing, it opens up songwriting, it opens up melodies, lyrics. It starts to really, you start to search yourself and your creative bank. Because, I mean, think about it. We see fashion designers who go into creating stuff for interiors. We see people who normally do print and pattern making going into making all sorts of public art and sculptures and things like that. So I believe that creativity begets creativity. But and it continues to grow.
There are many nuggets that you said. This thing about choosing, I feel like when you're younger, you should explore. For instance, you try to do fashion, you have to go through the season where you're trying everything. And when we're younger, we have all the energy. We don't really care about time that much in our 20s. It's not that important yet. And so that's the time I think that we can do a million things. Because what's going to happen is inevitably, because this is happening to me too, inevitably I know the things I'm not interested in anymore. Mostly because I have done so much. Because I have done all those things, I'm not interested in certain things. And I also learn how I like to work even within that. That was something that was very confusing to me at first. Like, okay, so you like writing. Somebody gives you a writing job. Why didn't you enjoy doing it? And I'm struggling. I'm confused. And then I realized I didn't like the type of writing, or I didn't like the purpose of the writing, or I didn't like the topic.
Or how they straitjacketed your creativity and told you exactly what to write.
Exactly. And you develop this over time. And so nobody wakes up knowing their niche. So it's like you've always drawn. I remember when you said that you didn't like doing portraits of people. And I thought, you can draw now, you know, and your drawings are so lifelike. Why don't you, like, imagine somebody trying to encourage you, saying, you know, there's money in this portrait business. And you're just like, I like drawing fashion, which is already a niche. And that gives us focus. And so it is when you learn how to be true to yourself that the options open up to you, because otherwise you just be confused. Which is what happens to a lot of people. So it means that for anyone listening, if you're at a point where you're not yet sure how you want to express your talent or your gifting or whatever your desire is, keep practicing. You'll probably fail and mess up a bunch of times, but you'll find out what you like and what you don't like, what you're good at and what you're not good at. But the other thing you said that was very instructional, and I know a few people have this story, a few of the, you know, billionaires in the world have this story about when they were trying to get a job or where they were trying to do something and it wasn't coming through. Somebody said, or they said, the one you're doing just for fun, since you're not doing anything else, not just start with that? As we say in Nigeria, I had nothing doing. So I just decided to start knitting. I just decided to start making juice. I just decided to start. Many of the comments that I read on the Adulting Review, people were just talking about how they're not able to get work. They're looking. And it's like, in that time, what can you do? What do you know how to do naturally that you can just do? I mean, you might as well, because you have the time and you don't know what direction it's going to take you in.
Another thing is that it kind of gives them the opportunity to think back to, what do I actually want to do anyway, since I have nothing else to do? Since I don't have the responsible thing to do, since the job I should be getting has not fallen into my lap, what would I be doing with this free time if I had the choice?
Exactly. And in that case, like, you can just keep your expenses to a minimum, sit down at home, don't go out, so you don't have anything to spend money on, and then do whatever it is that you do naturally. The thing is, sometimes there are some things that you just want to express for a season and you don't want to do it again, but then it can be so pressing. You may think that, oh, if I never got the opportunity to do that. So I remember when I was in uni, I got a job as a presenter, And we actually went to Ghana to cover like Ghana Music Awards. I remember that I auditioned for a TV show and I was going for readings. It's just that it didn't end up happening because there was no funding or something like that. So anyone who was in that reading room who looks back and goes, oh, I've met that girl before, would think she's an actress. And it's like, nothing ever happened with that. And I remember going for another audition and I got the part, but then I dropped out because I was in final year. I also realized I was a bit scared of
Faced with the door, actually walking
through it is another thing. Exactly. And I think that's also very telling because sometimes if the thing is important enough to you, you will walk through the door. You may be shaking and scared, but if it is important to you, you will do it. In the end, we are making choices. My dad said to me, oh, you know, you dropped out of this thing by yourself. I'm glad you did, because if I was the one who told you not to do it, you would have been fighting. So that means that I did not encourage you. And I said, well, I'm glad I had that freedom to make that choice for myself. So after doing all this for all these years and exploring and figuring out your niche, you started a platform called Fashion Illustration Africa. How did you start that? Why did you start that?
I think that came naturally out of seeing how my environment, where I was, where I lived. So in this case, the United Kingdom, how it helped to push me in the direction I wanted to go. I had choices. Starting up was easier because your Wi-Fi is fine. You can order stuff on Amazon. It'll come straight to your door. You can learn things. There's courses readily available. Your clients can easily pay your fees. So the ease of becoming an illustrator, which is not an easy task in itself, because creatives, I think, are one of the most underpaid, underserved people in the workforce. So for me, it was sort of after almost 6+ years doing it seriously and really pursuing it as a career, I saw other people, not because they weren't talented, not because they couldn't sketch or draw or whatever, but they just didn't have the resources to do it. They didn't have the push. They didn't have the encouragement to do it. They didn't have that community around them. And if you don't have a community, you don't have somebody you can look to. Instagram is fine, but then there's communities within the communities. And I saw that this was burgeoning for other places. So in the West, in America, in Europe, wherever you are, you would see that, whether it was an association for the illustrators or something else that had to do with the community base. But there was nothing, there was no opportunities, there was no grants, there was nothing for African creatives or the Black diaspora. And I just thought that was wrong. Because I knew if I was in Nigeria, if I was in Lagos, I probably would not still be pursuing illustration. For me, it would be a, do I eat? Do I draw? Do I eat? Do I draw? Do I have a roof over my head? You can't be forced to make such life choices. You should have a form of expression. There should be hope. There should be people who can come together and say, let's create an opportunity for the younger generation. Because even 2021 is the year of the creative economy. It's the way forward. I don't think our oil or our natural resources are going to be how we chart a future for Africa later. It's obviously going to be our young population, a huge majority under the age of 30. I mean, what they're going to do, everybody's not going to be mining iron ore. Not everybody is going to be refining crude. We need to invest in these people. And since I started it, I've seen people say, oh, thank you for starting this. Thank you for starting this. And I didn't start it as a platform for illustration, but I think it's a platform to connect the industry. So there are a lot of people who are designers who don't realize they need these illustrators to be part of their business. Illustration for just visual art as well. It doesn't have to be utilitarian type of illustration. It can just be because it's beautiful to look at. And making the West look at Africa and say, oh, there's new form. Because illustration has been here for so long in the West. It's accepted. It's normal. But then it's also created certain types. So it's kind of tired, but there is a style. And there's nothing new. So people kind of go into the maybe 5-6 streams, watercolor, digital. But then when Africans start to do it, when you pick something up, your culture just kind of, it colors what you're doing. So it's quite different. So it's a way to say, look, there's something new we can look to. This just the same way the whole world is looking at African fashion now and seeing people winning Vogue fashion funds and things like that. And they're from Africa. Because there's a new take on something that's already been established. So I'm really hoping Fashion Illustration Africa becomes that platform for illustration where it's feeding other industries in terms of just, you know, breathing a new life, but also giving people an opportunity to continue in their livelihood and choose illustration with boldness and say, look, I can make this work because look, such and such has done it and they're succeeding.
Yeah. I really love that people being able to choose illustration with boldness. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to choose, mm-hmm. will I eat or will I draw? And also the fact that the internet has broadened our market. So you know, 10 years ago, if I was saying I wanted to even be just a fashion designer, I was looking to sell to the people in my community.
Who lived around you. Lived
around me. But then because of the internet, I can sell internationally. There are literally no limits. And so even with creatives, as long as there's international shipping, you can do whatever it is because your market is now the world. Even if your mom honestly, doesn't like what you're doing, you can literally sell it to somebody in China who thinks that you're amazing. And when you talked about affirmation being the thing that motivated you, the way you receive, I want to call it love because I believe that love is the word we use to express value. And so if you feel like the thing that you're doing is valued, then you will feel like it is worth pursuing. And exactly, so for you, you made decisions because you got affirmation in certain places. And now, by putting your work on the internet, you got affirmation that way. And then you're getting work and then you built your career that way. People get affirmation for working in oil companies and for working in banking. But if you also got affirmation for your writing, for your juice that you're making, for the hair that you're making, for makeup, which we see in the beauty industry.
It's a confidence booster. And it's a confidence booster.
And it makes you believe that there is something worthy or valuable in the thing that you're doing. And again, knowing that like the world is your oyster, literally, and you can reach the ends of the earth from your bedroom, it should remove the mental limits that we have to pursuing our dreams because there is a way. There is an app you can download online that is free. There is a website you can log into, and there is a way you can connect to other people who are doing the things that you're doing and get inspiration from them, which is what you're doing with Fashion Illustration Africa. And I love it so much. As soon as you started it, I started to think about everybody I know who draws or who has a skill drawing. I was like, maybe they should just join a community so that they'll see if there is a way they can either just express a part of themselves that has been suppressed for so long, or if they can make an extra line of income from illustrating that they never thought about because they just doodle for fun, or can they be the, you know, because a lot of people cannot figure out what's the business plan, what do you see yourself in 10 years? But if you're in a community of people who are illustrating daily and they're in the industry, you can see the possibilities for your talent. And for your gifting.
So
I really love that. Okay, how can we connect to you on social media or in the world?
Yeah, so my illustration page on Instagram is Jaeger Illustrations with an S. Don't ask me why. Fashion Illustration Africa is at Fashion Illustration Africa. And we have a website as well, fashionillustrationafrica.com. Any of these platforms, even if you're not creatively inclined, I mean, it's just a great mood board. Lots of beautiful artwork on display. So yeah, say hello or just tag the artist friend in your life.
I love it. Before you go, please, can you just pretend I'm standing in front of you with a microphone on the street saying, please give a shout out to the Adulting Review.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jaeger. I'm a fashion artist and fashion illustrator, and you are listening to the Adulting Review podcast.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
It was fun. Look forward to listening. Yay. All right, man. See ya. Bye.
You're listening to the Adulting Review podcast.
We would like to hear any funny stories you have about sitting your parents down and sharing your real passions with them. Were they receptive? Did they ask you to come and get away? What's that? Tell us your funny stories. We'll be here listening. Thank you for listening to the Adulting Review podcast. Please join our community online on www.theadultingreview.com. We're on social media almost everywhere at Adulting Review.